Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we hear your thoughts about our September 11th anniversary coverage and other stories. Back Talk is next. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. In the chairs for Shape Up this week are Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Joe Madison, and T.J. Lydon. We're going to continue our conversation about the racially charged events in Jena, Louisiana. The guys will also talk about an alleged hate crime at the University of Maryland, and maybe we'll get to football. I may jump in if they let me. But for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, hey, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How are we doing?
Hey, doing good.
Now, as the case of six young black men for the assault of a young white teen heats up in Jena, Louisiana, rappers like Mos Def try to fire up the outrage. And Ruben, last week you said something that kind of caught me off guard, that you didn't see this as an incident involving race. I wonder if you'd expound on that point for me a bit, bro.
I think what I said was that this was not a good victim case, because the people who you would normally rally around and say, well, these folks are the victims, mm-hmm. were actually the victimizers. They actually victimized somebody else. The person who was victimized, the real victim, was the guy who got his butt kicked, not the ones who did the kicking. And so I thought that was going to be a problem. It wasn't quite a moral parallel with Rodney King, where you're sort of sitting there and then all of a sudden the police start jumping on you and beating you with batons. And I said that by way of sort of explaining why I think this won't have as much resonance around the community, even within the black community. People, I think, are more inclined to feel ambivalent about this because it is not cut and dry.
Well, it doesn't have to be cut and dry. These boys can't get a fair shot in court. I mean, Joe, do you see that?
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, he's wrong on all accounts because it has resonated around the country.
Hey, Joe, hey, welcome to the party. Nice to see you. Hey.
The black eagle just swooped down on the R.
I mean... That sounds more like a hawk.
Okay, well, look, I'm not a bird guy. Just kick it, Joe, kick it.
But basically, look, you're talking about in a town of 3,000 plus people, possibly 20,000 young people are going to show up. And here's why it is a racial issue. First of all, it started off as a racial issue with the hangman nooses. Second of all, it was a school fight. And as all the young people are saying, even in the barbershops, that, look, kids have fights all the time. The victim, the so-called victim, was supposedly kicked to almost an inch of his life. He ended up being released after 2.5 hours in the hospital, went to a graduation event, and then I think later on went to a party. The other thing was that you had a prosecutor who, when the students were demonstrating because the principal had suggested they be expelled, matter of fact, had recommended they be expelled, the school board ended up overturning the principal and only suspending them. And the prosecutor walks in, tells the students who had a right to protest, if you all don't get back to your class and stop this mess, I'm going to pull this pen out, and with this pen, I can ruin your lives. And then you had a situation where a white student pulled a shotgun out on a group of young black men. The black men were able to take the shotgun away from him. The police showed up, arrested the black men for stealing the shotgun.
Well, yeah, see, the conversation goes far afield. Right. All of a sudden, we're talking about shotguns. We're talking about
no, Jena.
Give me your hand, Joe. I'm going to bring you back to the beating.
Bringing it back to Jena. What are your callers saying when they call in?
Come on back.
No, what they're saying is that this is an overreaching prosecution of six young black men who were given tremendous bails, I think over $90,000, as if they were a flight risk from Jena. And they're also saying it was a fight. This was a fight. And what I hear often being said, particularly by conservatives, is, well, did you see the photographs of the victim? Somebody has to pay. But you don't pay with 20-year sentences that would, in essence, ruin these young men's lives. But the bottom line is...
Well stated, Joe. Bottom line it for me, Joe. Hold on.
Joe's been talking for like 5 minutes here. Hold on a second.
I know. Let him bottom line it.
Let me break into the filibuster, if I may. Can I break into the filibuster, if I may? Last week, somebody talked about community service. Now, somewhere between the death penalty and community service is where you need to be, and we need to take this stuff seriously. This doesn't mean they should get the book thrown at them, but community service, a slap on the wrist. You know, one-on-one is a fight. Five-on-one, six-on-one, that's Bensonhurst. That's a whole different story. That's a mob.
T.J., TJ, check in on this, bro. Don't let these brothers bogart the mic. Bust it.
You know, it's a fight. It's a fight that got out of hand, that the principal should have stopped the very freaking beginning. This is insanity. You know, the white kid got his butt kicked. Take a butt whipping. He went to a party later that night. Be a man, stand up, and just say, hey, we put the nooses in the tree. I got my butt kicked. End of story.
I just want to point out that TJ's a former skinhead, so he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. It's true.
Go ahead and drop that science, TJ.
I was a white supremacist, and the whole thing with the tree, come on, man. That was meant to be a derogatory thing towards blacks. The principals and everybody else didn't straighten it out, so the kids straightened it out. And kids don't have a lot of times to have brains. And yeah, this kid got beat. But for these kids to face 20 years, that's absurd. For them to face, you know, fine. You want to give them some time, have them do a few weekends in jail, have them do some community service, and just stop it.
Now, TJ, let's talk about these nooses for a second. Now, this is the second time we're seeing nooses in less than 6 months. We're seeing nooses on the campus of the University of Maryland. Now, these copycat crimes are often just kind of a cry for attention to cause hysteria, but you know, racial discord has become the new bomb threat or the next fire alarm. But TJ, now you're a former skinhead and you teach about tolerance. What's up with the throwback nooses? Why do you think we're seeing a rash of these throwback style racial intimidation tactics? What's up with that?
Personally, I think political correctness went so far one way. Now it's coming back the other way to be like politically incorrect. I also think it's used. I mean, South Carolina, the first time two black fraternities are allowed on the campus, some white fraternity guys think it's going to be funny. They drive a truck, two truckloads of cotton, pour them on the black fraternity's lawn, and then take pictures of the black fraternity brothers having to clean up their yards. And they post it on the net, thinking it was hilarious. The nooses were another, you know, sign to say, just remember where you're at.
Wow.
Oh,
Joe,
yeah,
how do you read that? What do you think about the nooses, the sudden reappearance of the noose as a racial intimidation tactic?
Sudden? We've dealt with nooses.
Joe, I don't know where you live, but there are no nooses hanging from the trees in my neighborhood.
Knock on wood.
Not yet. Well, I haven't been home in about an hour, but check this out.
But I mean, when you say sudden appearance, look, this happens all the time, guys. It happens on college campuses. It happens with KKK. So, you know, what doesn't happen, it doesn't get reported. It doesn't get the attention that this story has gotten. Matter of fact, I mean,
Wait a second.
You've been waiting a minute a lot, man. Wait a minute. let me point out something.
Okay.
Look how the media handles this rape case in West Virginia. I mean, I wish somebody would do a comparison between the number of stories done on this case versus Michael Vick.
Ruben, do you buy that this happens a lot and that these things go underreported? You buying that?
I don't buy that it happens a lot. I think if it happens once, it happens too often. The Ku Klux Klan is back. Its membership is up. But the reason it's up is because of illegal immigrants, not because of African Americans, and because it's using that as a recruitment tool. That hate crimes are up against immigrants and Latinos, and all that's happening. But back in the 90s, even, you talked about going after black students on college campuses. There's something going on here. The noose is just a part of it, but it's about trying to keep people in their place. This whole business of trucks and cotton and all this, it's about saying, listen, we don't like affirmative action that lets Latinos and African Americans onto college campuses. So once you get there, we reserve the right to pelt you with tacos. I think that this is a resistance by an ignorant generation that frankly didn't do the civil rights movement. You know, I think your point there is well taken, Jimmy, because we did think a lot of this stuff was dead and buried. And for folks who were just born in the 60s, didn't live through the 60s, we would like to think that we don't have to deal with this stuff anymore. So there is kind of a resurgence to it. I agree with you that it went away for a while or it went underground for a while, but now it's back in a big way. And I think it's back for the same reason, because folks are trying to keep people in their place. But don't forget now, that also extends to a whole different other types of folks. Gay folks, you know, Latino folks, all sorts of folks.
Okay, I got a blessing. If you're just joining us, I'm here with the Barbershop guys, Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, TJ Lydon, and Joe Madison. We're talking about the Gina 6 case in Louisiana, among other things. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Michelle. You know, TJ, I think Ruben makes a good point, but are there a lot of things slipping up under the radar that people just aren't aware of?
Oh, yeah. There's hate crimes every day in this country, and there's attacks that happen all the time. It's just, which one does the media pick up on a slow day?
Joe made a good point about the West Virginia case. We have to keep everything in perspective, okay? If we're going to get worked up over nooses, then let's get really worked up over the fact that somebody, a young woman, a black woman, was kept in a shack and was beaten up and was called racial names and slurs and was stabbed and beaten And that is a hate crime.
I hear you, Ruben, but I don't think we know enough facts about what's happened in that case. Now, I think we're all waiting for more stuff to come out. Because sometimes, you know, you see stuff and it's reported, but it doesn't always look like the way it's reported. So I think we're all waiting for more facts to come out. Just like a lot of, like, including me, waiting for more facts to come out about Gina. Now, you know what? Let's move on. Talking about the spinal injury of Buffalo Bill Kevin Everett, who may walk again, but only by the grace of God. Joe, is it time to re-examine and re-equip the game of football?
No. These are freak accidents. They happen. Men are, and as one who has played football all his life, I'm here to tell you people are bigger, they're faster, the equipment is better than it's ever been. It was a freak accident, and they have happened in football ever since there's been football. It happens in boxing. It happens in basketball. It's part of sports, and I don't know how you can re-equip. I don't know what else you can do unless you just have robots playing instead of human beings.
That's not the worst idea. TJ, go ahead. Chime in.
No, you have more head injuries in soccer than you have in football. And you know you have more wrist injuries and more shoulder injuries in baseball than in football.
I mean, I played
These
rugby.
These guys are highly conditioned athletes. They're professionals.
You want a rough sport, play rugby.
Ruben, what do you think?
It's a sad story, brother. It's a sad, tragic story. And I'll tell you, when I found out, this kid's like 25 years old.
Right.
You know, it was, I think, his first game, it was the season opener for the Bills, but I mean, this is a horrible tragedy, but if the conversation's about safety in professional sports, mm-hmm. we need to talk about steroids, we need to talk about concussions, a story not long ago about how the NFL keeps players in there after multiple concussions, you know? So there's lots of different ways, less dramatic ways, that somebody can be seriously hurt playing a game like this, things we can do something about. And even if it is a freak accident, it's just a very sad and tragic story, and it's worth taking a look at how these things happen, because you certainly don't want any more of these things to happen. Mm-hmm.
And you know,
Here's me. Me and the Black Eagle agree so far as, you know, as callous as it sounds, football players know the risk going in. Now, that said, it's high time to upgrade the safety equipment in this dangerous sport. You know what? And at this time, if it's okay with everybody, I want to throw prayers up to Everett. Stay up, homeboy. And let God run it back. And at this moment, we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to run the ball back to that girl, Eminem, Michelle Martin. Hit it.
All right. Jimmy Israel is an opinion. Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Jimmy Israel is an opinion writer and blogger. He joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, is host of The Joe Madison Show on XM Radio. He joined us here at our studio in Washington. And Tom T.J. Lydon is a former skinhead. He now works promoting racial tolerance, speaking around the country. He joined us from our NPR bureau in Culver City. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep.